Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. When you want the best, you have to act fast, especially when hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people before the competition scoops them up. And the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds top talent fast. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Spotify. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Since 1979, TireRack.com has been helping people find the right tires for how, what, and where they drive. They sell only the best, like the full line of Bridgestone tires. Test results, ratings, and reviews are there to assist. Or try the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. Tires ship fast and free to you or one of over 10,000 recommended installers. In many areas, they offer mobile tire installation that comes to your home or office. Shop Bridgestone tires at TireRack.com.
Some cars are comfy on the inside, but don't have power on the outside. And some cars have the horsepower, but none of the comfort. I used to think there weren't any cars that were the total package. But that all changed when I got my Honda SUV. It's rugged and sophisticated. And right now, Honda has deals on the entire Honda SUV lineup. CR-V, HR-V, Pilot, Passport, you name it. So if you're looking for a car that's the total package, the only place you'll find it is at your local Honda dealer. Hurry before they're all gone.
Still paying hundreds of dollars for prescription glasses? Let's change that. At Zenni.com, our factory direct model means no middlemen or outrageous markups. Just the same quality frames and lens options as the other guys for 1/10 the price. Zenni offers prescription glasses starting at $695, as well as affordable sunglasses, blue blockers, and more. The best part? Try any frame, anywhere, with our 3D virtual try-on. Visit Zenni.com today and change the way you buy glasses forever.
City, Chelsea, doing well in Europe. Well, they'll never be as big as Man United and Liverpool. Never. This is still the biggest game in Britain. Let's talk about it. Welcome to Carnage. Yes, welcome back to another episode of Carnage. Carnage, people. I think we've seen enough of Champions League footy over the last couple of nights with City and Chelsea doing the business. Fair play to them. But it's time to talk about the big game on the weekend. The real big game. The real teams. The two biggest teams in Britain. Still undisputed. And I've got a team. I've got a team together to talk about today. And everyone knows Saeed. But Saeed, welcome back to my channel. You know what I mean? I know you've been a busy man recently. And I know you've been fasting as well. But so I really appreciate it, brother.
No, man, always, man. You know what I mean? It was a good chat last time. But yeah, man, big up to everybody who's tuning in right now. And yeah, man, hopefully a good show.
100%. And making his debut. Long-awaited debut, because I've been watching this brother do his thing, and I'm not going to say nothing about him. Let the talent do the talking, as they say, man. But I really appreciate him coming down on my channel today, Mr. Flawless. What's happening?
Yo, first and foremost, love for having me. Secondly, that's fire as well. Man said, let the talent do the talking. Ooh, that is
simple.
That's the name of his show. That's exceptional.
Listen, people know on this show, I select the finest. I'm telling you, we only been running for about 10 episodes. And you know what? Every episode, every caliber of guests gets better and better and better. So welcome aboard, pal.
Yeah, man. Big up for having me, man. Much appreciated for the invite. You already know. I'm looking forward to this.
And you know what? We talk about all that hype and big up and talent, and then I have to go to my co-host.
I'll get those elite levels. Don't worry, soon.
I'm joking. My brother from another mother, all the way in California. My gem, my diamond. Avi, what's happening, brother?
Blessed to be on the show with you three. Just to big up my guy Jesse Marsh. He got the Red Bull Leipzig job today. So Americans making the headwaves in Europe. Man. So
hyping up the Americans. Always hyping up the Americans on this channel. I like it, but it's okay. It's okay. It's a platform. If people don't know, people know Avi's sitting out in California wearing his TJ Hooker leather jacket. You know what I'm saying? So, is it cold out there? What's going on? Why are you wearing a leather jacket on my show? I mean, I know special occasion that, but
it's 23, isn't it? 23.
You're a bit overdressed. Look, man. Look at us, man.
Is the rest of us wearing? Saeed's looking fresh today. Saeed's had a shave, looking fresh. Yo, with the hair, the fade. He's looking
representing San Diego, man. Out here, man. Yeah,
exactly, man. Big up, San Diego.
How far are you from San Diego?
About a 2-hour flight. 2-hour flight.
2-hour flight.
Yeah, about a 5-hour drive. 6-hour drive.
Yeah, man. Yeah, here.
Okay, but yeah, listen, guys. I said a couple of things in the intro, and one of the main things I said was, this is still the biggest game in England, Britain, for that matter. I'm going to come to you, Flawless, first, because you're my guest and I always do that. I like to put the pressure on the guest first to see if you can handle it. Yeah, but is this really the biggest game in Britain still? Are these two... Okay, two separate questions. Is this still the biggest game in Britain still? And are these two still the biggest clubs in Britain?
Is it the biggest game in Britain? Yes. I don't think there's one bigger. I don't think that there's one that comes to mind that I can say where the rivalry is bigger. Yeah. And what was the second question again, sorry?
Are these two clubs still the biggest two clubs?
We're still the two biggest clubs. We're not the most successful, but that's where people get that misconstrued. Like you can be a big club and not be successful. Because the same clubs like Manchester United are still a massive club. Are we successful at the levels where we want to be? No. Liverpool, when they were going through their title drought and wasn't winning much, were still a massive club. They just weren't successful. But yeah, both still juggernauts. And it's going to take a long time for a Chelsea or a Manchester City to catch either of us. We're still both clear, I would say, definitely.
Okay. Saeed, what are you saying about that? Is Flawless right?
I think it's right. For me, I thought Liverpool, in terms of history, in terms of rivalry, you know, you can't knock Liverpool and say they're not the biggest kind of, nemesis, I would call it, you know. Because you look at it when Alex Ferguson, what he said, them famous words, knock Liverpool off their perch. You know, and he said he'd do it, and he did it. So, you know, the rivalry stemmed from there, from the 80s to 90s. You know, us being successful through the 90s and the zeros. You know, I mean, you guys in the 70s, 80s. So this rivalry for me is immense, you know. And I've always said it for me, you know what I mean? Beating Liverpool has always tasted the sweetest. I don't know what it is. I don't know about you guys, but... Beating Liverpool just tastes.
You know what it is, Saeed? It's the biggest, because it's the biggest rivalry. That ties in with the biggest game. When the fixtures come out, the first one I look for is Anfield. Liverpool away. That's exactly where it goes.
And then and vice versa.
It still is. And yes, I banter Arsenal and they're a big rival, but it's just Liverpool, Manchester United. Like you just because it's a City versus City thing as well. It's not just football, you get me? The Manx, the Scousers, there's just so much more riding on it.
100%. Yeah. I think, you know what, you mentioned Arsenal. Avi, would you say that Arsenal, or let me stay with Flawless because I want you to come in on something else. I know you mentioned Arsenal, but you know what I've noticed, guys? The Arsenal-Man United rivalry is more of a social media rivalry. I think it's begun. Would you agree? I don't know. That's what it looks like.
I get what you're saying because it's kind of like we were the first generation using social media, that was the hot rivalry. So when I'm in school and I'm in college, United-Arsenal, it's the hottest rivalry simply because there's loads of Arsenal fans, there's loads of Manchester United fans. They're both contending for a number of years for the Premier League title, all the things that went with it as well. It was like WWE people throwing pizzas at people,
100%. Fat
bus ups in tunnels, all that type of thing. So yeah, that's what I would say. It is the social media derby, but it's still there. But yeah, definitely. the Liverpool game is still the bigger one. It's still, they're still a bigger rival to me.
Mm-hmm. Avi, how you feel about the rivalry? What are you saying?
You see, like, in the mid-90s to the 2000s, I'm not going to lie, look, being a Liverpool fan, it was hard watching United win. Oh. And then Arsenal came along with Arsene Wenger. That was a rivalry. For me, that was a rivalry on personal levels, the quality of football, Keane, Vieira, especially when Overmars scored at Old Trafford, you know, in 97-98 season, I think, to win the league title. That was effectively the game that sort of, you know, propelled them to win that league under Wenger. So I'm going to be a little bit fair. Then Chelsea came along with Jose and Fergie. There's never been a rivalry, apart from the maybe 2008-2009 season when Liverpool under Rafa challenged United, but United came back. You know, we all know about Makeda against Villa. There's never been a Liverpool-United go at it, like, in our timeline. You know, we're all similar ages and whatnot, but there's never been a period where Liverpool-United...
You know what? That's testament to how big a rivalry it is, that there's only one time we've been competing for the Premier League title, but yet still, that's still the biggest game. That's still... It doesn't matter if United are first... and Liverpool are seventh, or United are seventh, or Liverpool are first. I don't think there's any other rivalry. Maybe
great point
that I can think of that could last like that. Like,
I think that's because the support, the traditions, the history of the club.
And somebody said it in the comments as well about the rivalry.
Avo the Third said it. He said it like this: rivalry is way beyond football, kind of thing. What you're saying is like, you know, it's the cities as well. So it makes sense, man. It makes sense. I mean, and I'm sure you guys are the same. The nervousness just takes over, doesn't it? And as Flawless says, regardless of where teams are, like if we're competing and you're struggling, when we two match up, it's one of those games where, and I know it's a cliche, but it's real. Form does go out the window. How many times have we seen it? Yeah, so for example, we go back to last two seasons when we've gone to Old Trafford, and for sure we've been the best team in the country, probably. But yet we can't get one over Man United at Old Trafford.
Same with us, though.
I was just going to say, yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. So what is it? What makes it so, these battles so intense? And why do the players get up for it so much? And then sometimes you think to yourself, if they showed the same energy, the same spirit in every single game, like you guys must be frustrated, like how many times you've handled Liverpool. But then you go and flop the next game. What is it, Saeed?
I think it's crazy because there's been iconic moments. I think the one about Gary Neville when he was in the fans, you know, and it was like, you know, I think that's famous icon of him kind of goading the local fans, him kissing the badge.
Yeah, you know.
Last minute winner as well, wasn't it? Reaffirmed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think the fans' emotion take control of the game. I really do. I think a lot of fans don't want to lose the game. A lot of fans don't. You know, if football, if this game played the way the football talent played, I think it would be a classical. Mm. But it's the emotion. It's the not wanting to lose. It's to win at all costs. It's to, you know, come out of there unscathed. Alex Ferguson was a master of that. Going to Liverpool, you know, almost parking a bus and getting a 1-0 victories. How many 1-0s have we had? O'Shea, Wayne Rooney, you know, Carlos Tevez. You know what I mean? There was too many 1-0s in there. So, you know, I feel like for me, I think the emotion of the game, I've never, ever gone to a Liverpool game and thought, what has been the best performance? I think the Juan Mata one, where we won 3-1, was one I thought, wow.
When he turned Anfield into Wanfield.
I remember that. Apart from that, I can't remember a game where we've dominated at Anfield or like vice versa. At Old Trafford, okay, maybe the 3-0 when Van Persie scored, you know, the one 2-0 when Rooney scored. Like, there's been a few moments, but most of them have been nervy. It's been, you know, I just want the game to end.
Yeah,
so that's 100%. What I feel like. The emotion of the game has took charge of the actual football. That's why we never enjoyed it. Like you, Chris, now, I feel like with you now, I feel like you just want the game to end. I went, Liverpool, get the 1-0, get out of there.
100%. You know? 100%. You're right. No, I know what you mean. It's not a game for the entertainment purpose.
No.
Yeah, it's not. There's never, I can't even remember a good game between us. Can you guys? I don't know. Help me out here.
95-96, 3-3.
You're going way back.
You're taking it back. Paul Ince, did Paul Ince score the equaliser for Liverpool, isn't it?
Jeez, no, that was a 2-2. That was a 2-2. That was a few years later. Yeah, the 3-3 was Nigel Clough scored two and then Neil Ruddock scored the third. Yeah, we went 3-0 down at Anfield. Yeah,
you
3 and a half time.
Okay, but so the one I'm talking about is when Dennis Irwin scored the free kick.
Dennis Irwin, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Go on.
Apart from that, I can't, like, in recent times, like, let's stick to the last 10 years, innit, Avi?
Your fault, baby.
I know you're encyclopedia, man, but come on, man. Why are you going back to black and white shit?
As Jay has made a great point, it's turned into a very cagey game now. No one wants to lose. It's cautious approach from both managers as well.
From both managers. Yep. And that's rare for Klopp, you know, guys, because this is one game where I've criticized Klopp when he goes into these games. Even when we've been the top dogs, we've gone into these games with a cautious approach because of the record, because of the caliber, not the caliber, the name. It's often said that Klopp plays the name and the crowd as opposed to your team, because you've had some dead teams in the last few years, but we haven't still been able to do you. And it's vice versa. Like when you guys came over to us this year, we thought you're going to beat us. Nice. You're going to play attacking football and take the advantage of our no centre-backs, no midfielders when you played us. But you went cautious against us.
Yeah.
Avi, is it a case of just pure not wanting to lose first? And that's why these games are so kind of... Are they tactical? Or is it just negative?
A lot's on the line, Grizz. That's what it is. A lot's on the line. I remember when Jose Mourinho, when the second season he had brought in Lukaku and they came to Anfield and they had a good start to the season. And he literally parked the bus. He just didn't want to win. And that derailed the confidence in the players. And that's it. They went into a downward spiral. Like, I know they finished second to City that season, but it just, if they had gone out there and been a little bit more expansive, they would have got the winner against us. But he played such a negative system and just men behind the ball that he walked away with the draw, and he said not many teams will come to Anfield and take a draw from this Klopp's team. But if he had won, the confidence that it would have breeded into those players, you know, they would have challenged City. In the end, they finished like 16, 17 points again behind City. And like, you do feel that when we go to Old Trafford, it's the same approach. Last season when we won the league, you know, we went 1-0 down, but we were getting played off the park. It was only the second half when Klopp made a few changes, brought Lallana on. He scored, and then Oxlade had a great shot.
We played unbelievable that game.
You did. It should have been 2-3 up at first half. You know, 2-3
Pereira
up at
first half. Andres Pereira, I couldn't believe it.
It is one of those games where it's just sort of
a blank in my memory. I don't even remember that shit.
They sniff each other out. So yeah, it's just one of those games where you never know, coming this Sunday, we might get an old.
Sorry, go on, Flo. She was going to stop.
I just think it is when you have someone like Sir Alex and the caliber of that manager, and he turns around and says, "This game is now too big to lose." It's like when you lose. As in Manchester United, when you lose to Liverpool.
Did he say that? Is that a quote?
Yeah, he said that. That's a quote. He actually said, this game is now too big to lose. Mm-hmm. And I fully get what he's saying. Like, losing is bad enough as it is. When we lose to Liverpool at Anfield, and especially at Old Trafford, it just feels worse. Even though we get 0 points, whatever the minus goal difference is, no matter where we are in the league, it just feels worse. Same way when we beat Liverpool, say at Anfield, and any victory there is a great victory. I don't care how we play. Even though you only get 3 points, the morale it gives you, the boost it gives you at doing one over your arch rivals. And that's why you've seen it affect a Mourinho and goal in the manner in the Mourinho, the way he's approached there, the way Fergie's approached there, the way Klopp at times has approached the game also. 100%. I remember there was a game where we had, I think this is the one you're talking about, and we had like three injuries in like the first half an hour.
That was crazy. And both teams.
Yeah, both teams. And you're waiting for Klopp to take off one of the midfielders and go for it.
And 100%. He never did.
He never did, which lets you know the magnitude of it. Well, yeah, go on.
Exactly that. See what I'm saying? Look at the tension in those games. Like, we 100% knew we were the better team, and you had three injuries, you had no subs left.
No subs.
You were there for the taking, yet we didn't have the...
You don't want to take... Courage. You know what it is? You don't want to take... I would even say it's courage. It's taking that risk, like a draw... is a fair result all around for everybody. Mm. Everybody seems like not happy, but you're more content with that draw because it's kind of like, all right, we didn't get beat, we go again. Because that can suck, like a demoralizing defeat to Liverpool can drain morale. Same way, vice versa. If we lot do you, it could drain morale and drain the supporters' morale as well.
And that was one game. And you could always point back to games where you drop points. And in the end, City, we know, beat us by 1 point.
Yeah.
But that's one of those crucial games that if we stepped on it. You know what? We had a similar scenario. And obviously, we don't know what would have been the outcome if you've got 3 points at Liverpool. Obviously, the obvious one is you'd be 2 points closer to City. But in terms of mentality at the time, Saeed, I know you was... Because even you, we spoke about that game going to Anfield. And we were talking about if Man United can go to Anfield and win, this is so huge for Ole, for the title. Well, repeat what you said and tell us exactly how you felt at the time and how different it was.
Well, I went for a 0-0. I went for a 0-0 because I just thought, you know, the way we're playing in the top six games, you know, it was an indictment of just the kind of feeling we've done for the last 10, 15 years. I don't know if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer had been reading what Alex Ferguson used to do, because obviously he's always talking about how they're greats and whatnot and learning off the greats. But, you know, I picked him 0-0. And in all honesty, do I blame Ole? Maybe not, because in this game, I don't mind if we don't lose. I really don't mind.
Even at that time, you saw the state of our team. I think you had a chance to go. I can't even remember. How close was you to City at the time?
We was closer. Yeah, no, we wasn't miles apart. And again,
no, you was very close. It was like
there was only like 3-4 points in it at the time.
Yeah,
something
yeah.
like that.
It was big. Season, we should have went for it, and we didn't.
We should have went for it, but you know, what I mean, I'm not expecting a lot from Ole. But at the same time, mate, you know that for me.
Ese último McNugget me toca a mí porque soy la mayor.
¿Y eso qué tiene que ver?
Los mayores se respetan.
Eso no existe, ¿cierto, mamá?
Ya, quédense tranquilas. Aquí hay otra cajita de McNuggets.
Respeto, ¿viste?
El no hay rivalidad cuando hay McNuggets deal. Hay un deal para cada salida familiar en McDonald's. Compra uno de tus favoritos, como unos McNuggets de 10 piezas, una Big Mac, una Quarter Pounder with Cheese o un Filet Fish y te llevas otro por $1. Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. Válido para un producto de igual o menor valor.
That, I wouldn't call it bragging rights, but just like that feeling of losing to Liverpool when they were just that bad. I was like, nah, I can't have it. You know what I mean? Because I knew it's one of them feelings where you don't want to lose to Liverpool, man. You can't, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's one of them you don't want to, but then the win's so great. You know, like when they do Premier League years and then they look back at the Champions run. A win at Anfield can be the catalyst for you to win a title. Same way for Liverpool and that. We've seen that. That can turn the corner. Absolutely. It can be like, I remember the 08 season that we had. I don't even think we won the game there, but it was in the all-black kit. I think Tevez scored a late equaliser. I remember that being like very happy with that draw because it's a momentum shifter. It builds momentum and it gets you started because there's nothing better than getting a good result over your biggest rival. And like we're talking about here, that game is, there's all when fans are back. I mean, not when fans are back. When fans are at the stadium, there's always tension. Doesn't matter where they are on the table. There's not every big game has that.
100%.
Not every rivalry has that.
I think this is the most biggest game where the crowds at either ground play a huge influence.
Yes, absolutely.
Huge influence. Before we carry on, Mod, step
it's
up
the only
game.
Game. It's the only. Lot, it's the
one
only.
Second, one,
the,
second, one second. One second. Abs, one second. People in the chat. There's a lot of spamming going on.
Mod, I'm blocking
step
them.
It up.
I'm blocking.
Yeah,
this.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. We don't need shitheads like that, man. Come on, this is not the show. You know what I mean?
Just a thing on the United and Liverpool game. The fans. I think it's the only time where United fans actually pipe up. Usually they're quiet with their prawn sandwiches, isn't it? As quoted by Roy Keane. So
The Stretford end's always wild, but I get your point. But that's an easy game to get up for, and the same for the players. That's why you see better performances from the Liverpool. Manchester United is an easy game for both sets of players to get motivated and get up for. Yeah, I mean, you can write your name in history. We still sing Diego Forlán's name to this day. Just because he scored 2 goals against Shula in the early 2000s. I'm saying 100%. That's how far it goes.
It means a lot. And I know you, Saeed, you mentioned your manager and you didn't expect anything of him. So what we're rolling on, I don't know, a few months since that game. And I know your feelings. I know your feelings. But I know your feelings proper about your manager and shit. But I want you to just talk about your manager now. I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to talk about the job he's done. Because, look, then Avi's going to give the outside view. We want the inside Man United fans' view of what he's done. Because, I don't know, why is it looking so harsh on him? Go on, talk to me, bro.
looking so harsh, mate. It's Man United Football Club. You know what I mean?
Love that
the
line.
Thing is, right? The thing is, there's two ways of looking at it. Two ways. Statistically, you would say he's improved on the squad. Statistically, yeah? You know, statistically. But Grizz, you know what I mean? Like, I watch football for the pure art. I watch football for the entertainment. You know what I mean? I grew in football. I grew in love with football watching the great United of the early 2000s, watching Arsenal. I was watching every type of football, me. Barcelona, Real Madrid, whatever. So for me, winning, you know, it comes at a cost for me. It comes at a cost of, do you enjoy winning? Do you enjoy watching football? Mm. And I'm a man of my principle that I need to enjoy the football I'm watching for me to have the satisfaction. Because I told Flawless in there, I said, football is satisfaction. Yeah, and I won't describe the rest of the bit.
You've had a bad 7 years if you're just watching United for the football, mate.
Saeed, why are you not delivering the full quote, man? That you said.
No, I'm cutting the full quote. You know what I mean? Halal settings here. You get me?
No, but, it's after 10 and it's carnage. Do your thing.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, you know, basically, my whole point was, right, I think Ollie's doing well in terms of statistically, and I don't understand that. But I'm looking at the level of Mourinho's football, the way we're playing football, and I see no difference. And you can only watch it and see what he's doing. For me, the two in midfield are covering the tracks of the two at the back. And if he was to take out the two in midfield, I tell you what, mate, he'd get exposed. But the problem is, for me, I think it's a bit cowardly. And I don't know what the next step is. Because the next step for you, if you're thinking, right, third, second, right, next season we'll go for the title. But he won't do that, though. That's my problem. He won't do that because of the two in midfield are protecting the back four. And my point is, I'm confused of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. What is the next step? Because I look at Man United now in a minute. It's almost as if we contain a side, but then we don't attack them. But if Tottenham come at us, we can go do them. If Man City come at us, we can go do them. But to win a title, Grizz, you can't do that, brother. That's my problem. So I'm confused as in, what is the next step for Man United Football Club? Because you have to play on the front foot. You have to play with the pedal off. You have to say to these guys, you have to have that risk element. So you know what? To win these 10 draws we've had, if you look at mathematically,
you lose
a couple of them, win a couple more, you never know where we could be this season. But Ollie doesn't look like it like that. He says, but we're unbeaten. We're unbeaten away from home. That's, for me, statistically right. And I'm just saying to people, and the United fans here, what is the next step? Okay, we've got top four. Okay, we're second in the league. But is it a measure of where we're going? And that's my problem, mate.
Europa, you know? Semi-final as well, adding to the...
Europa semi-final, but yeah, still win it. Yeah, still win it, by the way. But all I'm on about, Grizz, though, we're in this Europa League semi-final by default. It's default, man. We should never, ever be in the semi-final. I'm going to celebrate it, yeah, but this shouldn't be the all-end before Man United Football Club. But what I'm trying to say is, what's the next step for Ollie? Because at the end of the day, when that belief was there to go win the title, we crumbled, man. It never came back up.
You asked a question there, and I'm going to ask your partner, Flawless, what's the next step for Ole and United? The contract hasn't been signed yet, isn't it? But technically it will be done, right?
I'm not sure. They've not said anything. That being said, now you've mentioned it, all has gone quiet on that contract. All has gone quiet, so I don't know what was going on. There was talks of it, but no, so nothing was announced.
Then? As Saeed says, what is the next step for the United and under Ole?
Under Ollie, I think this is his ceiling. I've said this. Second place and semi-finals. I'm hoping we can get over the line in the Europa League. I believe we will. But like Saeed said, we're in there by default. We are a Champions League team. And when I say that, I'm not saying we're Champions League winners, semi-finalists or quarter-finalists. What I'm saying is we're good enough to compete in the Champions League. We should have got out of the group in the situation we
have. Especially the start you guys had.
Yeah,
wow.
The start we had.
The
we should have got out of the group.
Second, sorry to cut you off. When you assess it, guys, we're second in the league. We've put in, I would say, a reasonable fight for this Premier League title. But when are we going to get ever a chance where Liverpool crumbled to the point it was? Tottenham crumbled under Mourinho. Arsenal, 10th position. Chelsea, who fired their manager, but was it too late? Like all these little things, and I'm thinking, Was there ever a moment to go beat Man City for a title? Was there ever a greater moment? That's what I'm trying to say. Have we just reached that ceiling of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer?
The moment was this season. You touched on it there about Liverpool not being what they were, Chelsea sacking their manager, Arsenal being in 10th, Spurs just being Spurs under Mourinho doing what he does to teams. We've all seen it. You know what I'm saying? Ask a United fan or Chelsea fan about him. That being said, yes, this season was the one to go for it. I've said this before. Do City have a better manager and a better squad than us? Yes. But are we able to compete? Of course, we are currently 10 points behind Manchester City. We dropped 4 points to Sheffield United. We dropped 2 points to West Brom. We played Arsenal twice and dropped 4 points to them. So that's what? It's four. That's like
a lot of points.
Yeah, you're talking all double figures amounts of points. We could be arguably 4 points clear of Manchester City right now. And yes, football doesn't work like that. You don't win all your games. What I'm saying is, I don't think it's unreasonable of me to think we should beat the worst team in the Premier League and the second bottom, get 12 points from both of them. We should be getting 6 points from each of those two games. I'm sorry, innit? So if you add 12 points onto our total, then we're much closer to 100%. Manchester City. And that's my whole point. What Ollie has done well, though, is he has improved. He came in, he improved morale, and he improved the squad. And the squad he leaves for the next manager is much better than the one he inherited. And we're not that far away in terms of, I think, the squad. I think the manager's now the issue. Because people say, Manchester United have a great summer, blah, 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 and get a centre-back, holding midfielder, right winger. I don't trust Ollie to implement those players correctly because we have a £40 million Dutch international central midfielder playing and he doesn't know what to do with him. So who's to say if we get a DM, he doesn't know what to do with him, or a winger, or a centre-back, etc. So that's my thoughts on it.
Avi, listening to these two brothers, you'd think they're in a relegation battle, man. Like, how are they going on harsh? Are they going on harsh, or have they got a point? No. What's your? Let me finish the question, here, brother. Let me finish the question.
I know what you're going to ask, though. I know.
I'm going to switch it up now. Now I'm going to switch it, so confuse you. Like, now I'm going to switch it up. But what I'm saying to you, right, is, are we happy for them to keep playing?
Or 100%. Do we see? Yeah. Chris, 100%. Yes. Look, Ollie's been fighting off.
And Ollie's response tells you all you need to know. I haven't met a rival fan that's Ollie out.
Ollie's been riding off that run that he had when they beat PSG away and they went on an 11-game stretch. He got the contract. Fan pressure. I believe fans were like, look, he deserves a contract. He deserves the media.
Really?
Gary Neville. Yeah, Gary Neville.
Not the Rio fans. Fernand. Not the fans.
Rio Ferdinand famously said on BT Sport, give this guy no matter how many dots you want, let him on the side. Yeah, yeah. He's taking us to the top. Clapping, rubbing his hands together, right? Ollie's at the job. He's winning the European Cup, whatnot. Right? Got into the summer. They spent a bit of money, right? They backed Ollie, right? The board, they got the players that, not maybe he wanted, but they got him players, right? He had another sort of dodgy run, but somehow he pulls out something, a rabbit out of the hat. They go on another sort of 10-game winning run. And things are starting to, okay, you know, maybe Ollie will get us into top four. He got them into top four. So people would have thought, and the board would have said, look, to be honest, he sort of passed that first test. He's got us into top four. This season, they spent a bit of money in the summer. They got that Atlanta wonder kid, Ahmed Traore, who came in January. He will be a bad boy. We'll come to that. And he suddenly got Pogba playing, Bruno Fernandes, Luke Shaw. He's been revitalized under Ollie. And
credit,
all of a sudden,
give him credit for this. Who gets the credit for that?
All of a sudden, not Ollie does, but all of a sudden now he's got United into second. So he'll be there for the foreseeable. Man United, and I'll say it on air now, and you can clip this video, will never win the league under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Ooh. They'll never win the league. Right, they'll never win the league. They can buy Sancho in the summer. They can buy Mbappe in the summer if they wanted to. They won't win the league under him. They just won't.
No pushback from me.
When you've got managers like Poch available, you had Allegri available. Allegri's a very underrated manager. I don't know why in England he's not had his chance, right? You had other managers, Nagelsmann. There's a few floating around in Europe.
Tottenham are getting Ten Hag apparently now. From Mr. Romano's tweet.
Ten Hag from Ajax.
Really?
Some breaking news
on Carnage.
So you do think that, you know, what's the next step? The next step is they'll probably want a serious title run next season. They should be pushing City. Will they push City under Ollie? I can't see it.
No pushback.
So if that's the case, right, and like, but it seems like the owners are happy with Ole, yeah? And this is where we're going to segue into the owners. And this is Saeed's favorite topic. right? Because we're talking about, so if Ole is going to be given a new contract, and we know likely he will, because you can't get rid of a manager that's reached the semi-final so far, possibly the final, because Roma ain't no bad boy team. Roma ain't that good anymore. So possible chance of Europa League final and a second place, yeah? It doesn't seem like you're going to sack the manager. Is that a weakness from the owners? And because is there a sense of your owners don't really understand what they've got in Man United? Do you feel that, Saeed?
I think they don't understand anything, mate. You know what I mean? Like, let's be honest with you, mate. You know, I don't know if they understand football. I think for me, it's the I think they're fulfilled with Ole. I think they've got the right business plan. And I say business plan because that's all they see, football. The right business plan for a person to come in who knows the people, knows the community, you know. He knows what it's about to be Man United. And it's the perfect kind of, you know, fit. You know, I mean, whether I like it or not, it's the perfect fit. And they've got the person now. Because I was thinking, right, why did they appoint Olegan Solskjaer when so many people at that time were available, you know? So many people were available at that time. And they
but
chose...
it was around the time, though. But he was the perfect caretaker manager at that time.
Yeah, at that time, yeah.
They got gassed like us, though. That's what it was. They got lost in the whole emotion of it. Everybody singing Ollie's at the wheel, myself included. I thought he was back. I'm saying give him the job. How can you not? Yeah.
I know that was when he came, though. But when he first joined, though, I wasn't calling for his name. I was right. Mourinho's gone. Go get Pochettino. Go and get him. He's ready. He's at Tottenham. I know he's at Tottenham, but he could go give him bigger money out there. I could go get him. Yeah. I just think right now, they're happy with what he's doing. And the problem is, right, as long as you've got people who support Ole, in reality, this Glazer movement won't ever come into fruition. It won't. It simply won't. Because at the end of the day, you've got a divided fan base. I said it right, and I said this was a controversial topic. I said, is it going to take Ole Gunnar Solskjaer to leave so that you don't have any discrepancies or kind of divisions for everyone to be united? Because the problem is, right, and it's natural. You have a bad game. Who do you come to first? Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Yep. What was trending after the Leeds game? Ole out. I didn't personally write Ole out because I know what he's all about. Flawless knows what he's all about. There's no point me shouting Ole out anymore because I know what he's about. Everyone knows my opinion. But the problem is, though, you're going to get always going to get that vision because Ollie's right there. And then you're going to get the people who back him. And the Glazers are sat behind all of this, yeah, just, you know, watching it all unravel and thinking, right, we've got our perfect man here. He's there. Everyone can concentrate on him. There's not because, you know, if this was Pep Guardiola, do you think everyone would be going at Pep Guardiola? No, they wouldn't. They would be saying, get these owners out and get them to back this manager. But the problem is, and maybe I'm the problem, but we go, nah, it's not that problem. It's Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Get him out first, and then we'll go to the Glazers. So we're always going to have this debate. So maybe get the middleman out in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and then we can properly focus.
Saeed, the same as with Saeed, you make some great points, but the same was with Jose. Because he was such a big personality, he deflected the attention from the Glazers, right?
There you go.
So everyone would go into Jose first, the media.
There you go.
Actually pummel Jose and his footballing tactics and the way he, you know, represents the game from a manager. They would attack him first before the Glazers. But Saeed, you say this, but they've spent money. Whether they've taken loans out and they've paid the interest off and they've just piling on more debt on United, they've given adequate money to Ole, to Jose, to Louis van Gaal.
The issue is not the amount of money that's been spent, it's how it's been spent. That's the issue. There's been no plan of action with it. That's the problem. That's why Ole has done such a great job with the squad, because when he's joined it, you've got four different managers' squad. You've got some of Fergie's players, then you've got Moyes' players in there, then you've got Van Gaal's players, and now you've got Mourinho's players, and it's all a mishmash. Whereas when you have a proper football club with a proper structure, the manager fits it. So say, for instance, your philosophy is an attacking philosophy. If the one manager goes, then the next manager who comes in should have a similar philosophy. It's like Atletico Madrid. If Simeone leaves there and they get Allegri, that makes sense because we know Allegri can be pragmatic. If they go and get a Pep Guardiola, it's probably not going to work because it's a complete difference in philosophy. So there's no issue with that. The amount of money that's been spent, it's how it's been spent. And that's our problem with the Glazers and Oli as well.
Avi, just a quick, I just want to ask you something, Avi, from your opinion, right? Because when you hear these people, right, or Man United fans in general, and the state of the club, like overall, I know they've had a very good season this time, but the last, I don't know what, last 7-8 years, you could say, does it? Because I done a show with Rants. You guys know Rants as well, yeah. I done a show with Rants about 5 years ago. 4 years ago, sorry, when just Jurgen Klopp just came in and you had Jose in charge. And I said to the brother in that show, and I said to him, and I've clipped it up bedtime since then, I said to him, you guys are about to embrace me.
Attention Social Security and SSI recipients. If you did not receive an economic impact payment for your eligible spouse or dependents, you may need to file a 2020 tax return with the IRS and claim the recovery rebate credit. Go to ssa.gov/EIP to see if you need to file a tax return and if eligible for other refundable tax credits, like the child tax credit. That's ssa.gov/EIP. Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Mediocrity like we did and were. And I'm speaking from experience. I'm not trying to gas you up. I'm telling you. And Avi, do you see similarities in the mindset of the owners, the caliber of players they're bringing in, like when we were going through that, trying to rise up again? Do you see similarities in the two clubs' fortunes? Because there's no doubt United will come back. We struck it. What do they need to turn the tide back the right way again, like Liverpool did? Do you know what I mean?
First of all, they need to appoint the right men. Woodward is not a footballing man. He's not a footballing negotiator. You know, he's not one that you want around the table when you're negotiating for top players. Yes, he's got the Pogbas, the Zlatans, and whatnot. They reminded me at a period when Real Madrid were buying the Galacticos. You know how they were bringing in
commercial silence,
Zidane, Owen, Beckham's. You know, like to sell shirts and make it a worldwide brand. That's what the Glazers. That's what Glazers have done. Now with Woodward, who's officially left now, are they going to appoint like a Van der Sar? There's talk of him. Or are they going to promote Darren Fletcher? Like, what is the structure? At United, it seems exactly how it was at Liverpool, Grizz, under Hicks and Gillette. There was no structure in place. We had weak men. Ian Ayre, as much as he done really well, he was absolutely flawed when it came to transfers. We just didn't have the right structure. Right now, from top to bottom, forget about this season, we've got a good structure. At United, there's problems with the ownership, there's problems with the DOF, Woodward, there was problems, fans literally hate him, right? The managers didn't help with Moyes, Van Gaal. I think the appointment of Moyes set United up, set United back 5-6 years. I think was so detrimental. When Fergie said he's cut from the same cloth, I was thinking, right, this is the time where Fergie should just actually leave because he's leaving at the top. They won the league. They got him Van Persie, won the league. And he's saying stuff like this. Farewell speech, he's saying he's cut from the same cloth. David Moyes.
He set them up nice, isn't it?
Sometimes
was never the guy.
Fergie done so much great Moyes, for that club, but he mashed up that statement at the end.
He wasn't a winner.
But if you look at it, though, in some ways, I kind of feel sorry for Moyes because Ollie's getting all his backing, but he got over a squad. I know Alex Ferguson's squad had full of winners, but it was an aging squad and he didn't get one penny. So, and now it's almost as if Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who, for me, when you look at Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, David Moyes, you would probably say David Moyes got more credibility the way he got Everton from obscurity to a kind of a top four club.
Look, the thing is with Moyes, at least with Moyes, is he good enough for where Manchester United want to go? No, but he has for the lesser clubs and a club trying to get from, say, into the Europa League or Champions League places, he's good for that. If you look at his West Ham side, it's the exact same as his Everton teams. It's the same blueprint if you look at the players. And we went through this on radio. If you look at Cresswell, that's Leighton Baines. It's the same thing. That man plays same, very similar. If you look at Antonio, that's just Lukaku. There's so many more. He just got Lingard in, Steven Pienaar. You can see the actual similarities is mad and you can go on and there's more. But on the Manchester United front as well, what a lot of people and a lot of fans seem to do is try and divide and conquer. So if you're Oli in and you like Oli, you're not going to blame him and just blame the owners. They're both, the Glazers are a problem. Woodward's a problem, and Ollie's a problem. Is Ollie the lesser of those three problems? Yes, but he's still a issue. As I've said this before, even if we had perfect owners, perfect board, fantastic structure, he's still not good enough for where Manchester United want to go to, because you should still be getting more out of what you have. Because say what you want, we've been successful under the Glazers in terms of winning trophies. We've won an FA Cup, a League Cup, and Europa League. So we've done it before. So it can, this whole you can't win trophies under them is a myth. But I want them gone as much as anybody else.
I'm gonna come to this. Nah, man, we're gonna get onto the game, man. Talking about the Man United ownership, I don't want it to catch too much traction and them change their ownership and get good again. So let's just
but you guys know, man, there's a lot of I don't want to talk about this, but FSG, man, they got away with it lightly as well. You know, for me, I was speaking to a couple of Liverpool fans, and they were saying the disappointment in the turnout, like, you know, I know before fans came to the FSG out movement. I don't know what you guys said about FSG.
Our situation's slightly different because they're the ones that brought us the glorious title back. So they've got a lot of credit in the bank. So, yes, and they've brought us the greatest manager we've had, like, since my lifetime. So they've got a lot of credit in the bank, Saeed. I hear the mashup, the fuck-up with the Super League. I hear all that, and they've made major mistakes in the past as well. They've made minor mistakes in the past, and they've always said sorry, and they've learned from them, and you hope to think that they're going to get better. This one is a major mistake. So I agree with you. They may not get back the credibility or the trust from the fans, but we know fans are fickle, man. We've discussed it on last night's show. We done a special on the situation, and we said that, you know, sometimes fans can be a little bit fickle, and it's just the first time under Klopp that we're put now, and that's why all this other talk's coming through. If we were still winning trophies and we were still good and we were still bringing in Van Dijk's and the Alissons and, let's say, the stars this summer, then that's how you win back some of the trust. I agree. It can't be all won back, but the two ownerships are at different stages, in my opinion. But listen, man, enough of this ownership chat. We've been chatting about ownership, man, for too long this last 2 weeks with all this business, man. But good luck with you guys. I'm Ole in, Glazers in, and all that, man. Like, let's just be real.
I'm clopping.
You're clopping, yeah? Okay, I hear that. But listen, let's move on to Sunday, man. What's going on Sunday? Is it Sunday?
Yeah,
Sunday. Super Sunday. Do you remember old school Super Sunday used to be some proper games? Like, Avi, what do we need to do, Avi? Because we're going there now. It's a far more important game for us than it is for them. But we know them fuckers over there will, regardless of what the situation is, they'll raise it. They'll raise the tempo. They'll raise the energy levels. Even though they've got Roma. And then you've got the second leg next week, innit?
Yes, the second leg is next
Roma,
week.
Villa, Roma.
No, Roma, Liverpool.
Roma, Liverpool, Roma, Villa. Yeah, true.
Avi, man, we, as you said, we're in a bad situation right now, aren't we?
Yeah, it looks as if top four's gone. Just when I thought there was a little bit of hope, Saturday put a stamp on that again with that draw. Oh, Grizz. Sunday, we need to go out there and win. I don't know what else I can say. You know, bragging rights, you know, that always helps to get over
the
shit show of a season this season. But we need to go there and win, like any kind of win. I'll take a 1-0 right now just to, like, yeah, just walk away with the bragging rights. I've got loads of mates who are United fans, you know, and this game, no matter where we are in the league, if your team wins, it's a bragging right for the whole weekend. Absolute abuse. And it's vice versa. If we win, absolute abuse being sent to them. And I'm sure it's the same for you guys as well.
But but flawless, it means everything to Liverpool right now. We can't even afford to draw if we got like a slight chance even, yeah? You guys are going to be coming off of Europa. Obviously, it depends on what the situation in that tie is going to be. How will Man United and Ole approach this game? Or does it depend on Thursday, like tomorrow, is it? Yeah, tomorrow.
Like,
situation of the tie.
I think he approaches it cautiously. I don't think it matters if United 2-0 up against Roma or we lose to Roma 2-0. I don't think that has any bearing. He's not going to want to lose the game. the fact, I'm presuming fans ain't going to be there inside the ground, I'm talking about, because it's a protest ground. Yeah. So with the fact there's no fans, I could see it being a draw anyway. This screams draw to me. Yes, Liverpool will go for it more because of the things you mentioned, Grizz, because you need the points more than we do. But I can see us both cancelling each other out because I don't see United going for this. We're pretty much secure in regards to our top four finish. So, yeah, and Ollie's not going to want to lose it, especially in between our two most important games. Like, they're two season-defining games.
Just a quick one on that, Flawless. Do you reckon, because the FA Cup game was quite entertaining, wasn't it? The 3-2. We could have won that, but a few mistakes from our Reece Williams, poor fella. But you know, and you lot guys capitalized, and that was a good game. Do you think because the shackles are off on Sunday, because you guys have secured top four, you're not going to really win the league now? City have cemented that. Do you think? And from our point of view, we've got nothing to lose. Literally, got nothing to lose now. We don't want the Europa League football next season. I don't want it anyway. Right? Yeah. I want a clean slate. Have a
Europa League conference, man, not Europa League. Europa League conference.
We've got to finish ninth for that, then. You think the shackles are off for Sunday, that it might just be an open game, like head-to-head, mano-a-mano, just go for it?
I hope so. Yeah. I just don't see Ollie doing that in this game.
It's back to the rivalry factor, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. It's back to the rivalry. I don't see it. I think the FA Cup game, which was very entertaining, I think that's just a one-off. I think that is. I don't see that happening. I don't think we planned to set up to go for it in that manner. I don't think Klopp planned to, like, all right, we're just going to go for this and go gung-ho. I don't see that, especially sandwiched in between the two games. And it'd be interesting to see what type of team he picks. He might slightly alter the team, which could have an impact. I think he plays cautious anyway, even if he plays our strongest 11 or he mixes it up. But I just can't see anything past a 1-1. If it was 0-0, I wouldn't be shocked, because I look at... Ollie's not gone for it against any of our top six rivals at home.
City does tend to have a good record away from home.
Away, you know what I'm saying? Like, when we can play on the counter, but at home against City, dull affair. I literally fell asleep during the game. Chelsea the same. Arsenal the same. Spurs battered us. Who else? And then Leeds lot coming into town. I don't see it being any different.
Saeed's a bad man for results, you know, that predicting. He's like, I don't know how he does
even
it.
Even though, to be fair, though, I'm not top of the league anymore, man. I don't know if you've seen the Big Six prediction. Turkish is top now.
Oh no! Have you?
Yeah, dropped? Man. He just saw me. I think there's some match fixing going on there, but that's a whole new show.
But listen, Mick, fix this match for us, Saeed, man. Will Liverpool win? Man United don't need it.
I think United don't need this. Yeah, I think United will win. You know why? Because if City win and United lose, City win the league title. I don't know if you know, guys, know that. If City win at Crystal Palace, 12:30 kickoff, Man United lose against Liverpool.
So do we have to? Do we have? I know this is going off sidetrack, but just a quick one. If City win and we have to lose for them to win the title. If we draw or win and the title's not over, okay. Just ask.
Yeah. So, okay. Excuse me, but I think Man United will win this. I think Liverpool are there for the taking. I really do. I think I'm looking at the way they play football. I look at our intensity.
Yeah. Bring this. Go on. I like when you bring this shit. Go on.
No, but I just think Liverpool...
I'm going to clip this.
I just think Liverpool don't have the same intensity as Man United. And I say that in a weird way because we don't have the quality that you guys got in terms of Mo Salah, you know, Thiago, you know, Wijnaldum. You got Fabinho. These are good players, but you don't have the intensity. You don't have that kind of... What, United are full of energy, man. I don't think Liverpool can cope with that. I think Liverpool couldn't cope with it in the other game. I don't think you can cope with it now. And that's why I'm banking on Man United to have more energy, to be in that midfield, right? It might be McTominay and Fred, yeah, but they somehow will pull out a performance at Tottenham. You see that at Tottenham and Dombele and Højbjerg. They couldn't do anything. Pogba was in there causing havoc. Bruno causing havoc second half. I think Man United have got this over Liverpool, you know. And I'm going to go as far as 3-1 United.
Whoa.
I really do.
Yeah. No, he does.
Clip this dog's brave.
No, man, he's brave, man. I'll rate him.
Nah, man, I'm going for it, man, because I feel like Liverpool, man. Okay, I don't see the threat, man. I'm not scared of Liverpool, man.
He's got every right not to be scared right now, man.
Yeah, that's right. I understand that. But 3-1.
Avi, what's your prediction, bro? I don't normally.
Do you really want me to go there?
No, don't be realistic in a little bit. Like, you know what I mean? You haven't predicted one game ever, like even remotely close. Like, you know, like sometimes
I hate this game.
You know what I mean? Like, be realistic, innit? Like,
you know what?
Brez, this guy predicts 4-0 and 4-1s every week for Liverpool. So, like,
wow.
It's the weed out here. I'm telling you, it's the weed out here that I smoke, man. It's something else.
I rate the optimism, man. I rate the optimism.
No, I think, I really do think the shackles will be off. It will be similar to the FA Cup.
It has to be. It has to be.
Yeah. And we've got a huge point to prove. We really do. And this game can sort of bring a little bit of joy in a disastrous season. And I say that as well. I fancy us to win 3-1, actually, at Old Trafford. So, yeah, I'm going to go with 3-1.
Four goals.
We'll score first.
He's a Saeed of the Liverpool fan base, man. I'm telling you.
I'm proud. I'll take that any day.
I want to do something, and obviously a segment in the show where we always do this. All right, this will be interesting, you know. Flawless, I want you to take three players from this Liverpool team. I say this Liverpool team, I don't mean right now. I mean if everyone was fit.
Okay.
Go ahead. So, you know when we're fit and firing, yeah?
Yeah.
So, if you could take three players for this current United team, what you think they may lack or whatever, well, who are the three players that you would take?
From Van Dijk, for one, definitely. Van Dijk, because he transforms our whole back line. So Van Dijk's an easy one. Fabinho, because not only does he improve us defensively, he improves us offensively, because then we could play a 4-3-3 of Fabinho, Pogba and Bruno. You know what I'm saying? Or Fabinho, Donny and Pogba, whatever mix you want to go. And then the third one, I'd probably go Alisson, you know, because he sorts out our goalkeeping issues. So I'd probably go Alisson. I know people maybe expecting me to say Salah, but yeah, I'd go Alisson because De Gea, I don't think can reach them heights anymore. And Henderson, I'm unsure on yet. I've just not seen enough of him. But Alisson solves that. So not only does that improve our team defensively, it improves us offensively as well, even though I've picked a goalkeeper, a centre-back and a holding midfielder. So that'd be my three.
No Trent in there? No Trent over one. I'm not asking you yet, innit? You just relax, innit? I'm asking Flawless, man. Before you start, why are you always bully Trent? Said always bullies Trent, you know. Go on, Flawless, what it is?
Man. It's because we've been hearing about Trent for 2 years, and then when what's happened to him this season, it's kind of like everyone's going to jump on the bandwagon now. When you see what the likes of Dwight McNeil are doing to him, the amount of times he's losing the ball, the Real Madrid situation in the Champions League, etc., etc. But yeah, I wouldn't take Trent simply because I think centre-back, goalkeeper and holding midfielder are more important areas.
That's a fair
shot. More important areas for it to improve rather than a right-back. Same way we need a right-winger. That's why I thought about Salah, but I was like, I'd go goalkeeper.
You ain't picked a shoddy three, bro. You've picked an elite three there. So I can't even argue. Before I go to Saeed, I'm going to put Avi's, the Liverpool version, in the middle. Like, if we could pick three United players in the squad when everyone's fit, remember, yeah, Avi? So that's the kind of caveat I'm giving you, like, not right now, because right now we'd take the centre-halves. But what I'm saying is, if everyone's fit and firing, who's the three players that you take from United team?
Definitely Marcus Rashford. I think he's a brilliant player, especially from the left. I'll take Marcus Rashford. I'll take Bruno Fernandes. Gets into those intricate positions as a 10 and scores goals, free kicks and penalties. He is. And you know my affiliation with Bruno Fernandes a few years back. And that's a toughie. Who has got to be in our starting 11? Because they've got some great youngsters coming through, man. They've got some great youngsters coming through.
We don't want to know about the youngsters, man.
Third one. Would I take Luke Shaw over Robertson, fully fit, on fire? No, I wouldn't. I would stick with Robertson. I'll take Cavani. 9 doesn't fuck around, scores goals. No, I don't rate him. Sorry, Flawless. Don't rate him.
These guys got agendas, man. Liverpool fans got agendas with Pogba, man.
Pogba's a myth. At 90 million, he's a myth. He was, still is, and he'll... What's he done? 5 years, what's he done? You lot are still living in hope, living in denial.
He's our Naby Keita.
Oh, yeah, far worse.
Yeah, you lot are wilding with that.
Let him do his thing. No, Cavani, 100%. You know why? Because we miss a finisher, someone who just doesn't F around. You know, Napoli's goal scoring record at PSG, absolute phenomenal. Cavani. So Cavani, Bruno, and Rashford.
Okay. I think you've missed one. And when I say it, you're going to say, yo, shit, yeah. Saeed, three Liverpool Donnies in your team. I know you love Liverpool, so pick up three Donnies for your team.
I want to pick Virgil. I mean, no mention that, man. Virgil and Maguire in the back would be colossal. You know what I mean?
150 years of breakthroughs, milestones, and triumphs. 150 years of Children's National Hospital. 150 years of generous community support. You can give kids a future where they get freckles instead of chemotherapy and paper cuts instead of surgery. Children's National Hospital. 150 years stronger with your help. Please give today. Visit childrensnational.org/150years. That's childrensnational.org/150years.
Very, very good.
It might make him look good. Is that what you're saying?
No, it will be good. You know what I mean? It will be good. You know what I'm saying? To back up, you know what I mean, for Lindelof. You know what I mean? But yeah, Virgil van Dijk, Fabinho has to be Fabinho, man. For me, I was almost distraught when he went over to Merseyside, man.
Yeah, because you managed to link with him, weren't
Monaco,
you?
Yeah.
Quality,
yeah.
Man. It's a quality baller as well.
BBC Football reported it straight away. I was like, what? Signed already? But that's for another situation. And the next one will be, for me, I need to sort that midfielder out flawless, man. So I'm taking Thiago. Get Fred out. Get Fred McTominay. I'm getting Thiago, mate.
Are you really doing fantasy? Okay, so if we take Fabinho and Thiago, what formation are we playing?
We play 4-2, and then Pogba on the left of the three.
Oh, you playing Pogba on the left?
Okay. Yeah, but Pogba on the left, man. You know,
you see the way they have to shoot. Look, this is a world class player, 90 million, one of the best in the world, but they have to shoehorn him in.
No, but he's a left. He plays on the left. He likes to play on the left.
He's a central midfielder. Front three or left of a midfield?
No, he's not. Sorry?
Left of a front three or left of a midfield?
Yeah, do you know what it is? The fact that he's that good that he can play all three because he's played. Holding midfielder for us, he's played as an eight and he's played as a wide left. His best position is a free role central midfielder. That's to me, though. That's his best. Yeah. That's when he's been at his best.
Left of a free.
So hold on. Let me just switch it up here. If Pogba played in a free role like Bruno does. Does Pogba get the numbers Bruno does?
Yeah, because he proved he did. Look at interim manager Ollie's run, and he was averaging a goal and assist every game.
Yeah,
that run he went on, he literally was scoring a goal. He was getting a goal and or an assist.
Second season of the Mourinho,
Mourinho, where he topped the list for everything. He was our best attacking player and our best holding midfielder. And this season,
from a Liverpool fan point of view, right? Mm-hmm. Let me get out there. I know Saeed thinks I got an agenda. I'm not Steve. Yeah, I'm not like that. I ain't got that kind of agenda. Don't call me Souness, right? Because I'll block you. Yeah, because every time someone says anything about Pogba, Saeed calls him Souness, right? But Pogba is a baller. Mm. He's a good player. He's a quality player. Mm. But the issue Liverpool fans, and I think football fans worldwide have with regards to Pogba and United, the affiliation they have with him, or the glorifying of Pogba, is I think you guys put him on that pedestal when he hasn't done enough to be put on that pedestal. He's got the talent. He's got the potential. No doubt he has. When Pogba
runs again. Let me ask a question, Gris.
Let Gris land before he
brought. Did they stop there, though?
What do you mean?
They bought Sterling. They bought a culture around him so he could fit in.
Man.
Look at the culture.
You've got Greenwood, you've got Cavani, you've got Rashford.
Not now, bro.
Wait, remember Steven Gerrard? Remember we had a brother called Steven Gerrard, yeah? Steven Gerrard played with the nastiest footballers.
Different era, man.
I get what you're saying, but here's the thing. The reason why Manchester United fans put him on that pedestal, and that's myself included, it's not because of what he's done. We know if we are going to win anything. If we know if we're going to win anything, it's on him. If he's at it, that increases our chances because this season has been one of his best seasons. He started the season poorly, then he was injured, and then since he's come back in, he's been exceptional. He's had so many different clutch moments. The AC Milan game, West Ham, Fulham. They're just three off the top of my head where people are like,
they're the only three, that's right.
Is he impacting games? Nah, he's got more than that. I just can't remember.
How can you not remember your best player's clutch moments over the course of a season?
Like I was saying, after once he's out, you see the massive difference. He got injured against Everton. And until he came back, you see the massive difference that
we didn't create a chance, did we?
You see that? Hell of games where we're not creating chances and that. Spurs is another one. That's four. And my memory's bad. That's why I can't remember more. But if I check the games, I check. Burnley's another one. That's five.
No, listen,
I'm
not going to sit here and Pogba ain't a good footballer because that's stupid talk. You know what I mean? We're not here for stupid talk. We're here for real talk. But I think if I was a fan of a club, I would want more from my record signing. I would want more for the most talented player in my squad. I would want more from the most hyped up player in my squad, regardless of who the coach is and the players around him are, because other players are performing. Yeah, but Saeed, other players are performing. Why can they not levy?
In his time when it started.
Here's the thing though, with the whole other players are performing, I've said this about Manchester United. All of our top players get doubted at some point by our fan base and other fans. Pogba's had it, Bruno's had it, Rashford's had it, Martial has had it, Cavani's had it. That's five. You know what I'm saying? All our top players, because that's just the way our club is set up. We are not giving people the best possible platform to succeed. And that's why all of our talent gets doubted at some point by not only our own fans, rival fans too. Greenwood's had it. Now Greenwood's slowly coming back into form. And that goes to show about the manager. That's quality ballers I've just mentioned there. Where and how highly you rate them is a completely different conversation. But they're all talented, but yet they've all been doubted. So clearly the common denominator is the club.
I'm going to say I'm happy if you guys are happy with Pogba's performances at United and the future. I'm happy. Keep Pogba. You know, I'm Pogba in, Glazers in, Ola in. I'm everything in. You know what I mean? Like, you guys, you know what I mean? I'm serious.
FSG.
I'm going to come because I'm going to read the super chat out from Promo FSG out. You know what I mean? I think that's Saeed's burner right there. Thank you for the super chat. He says, I take Greenwood, Bruno and Pogba easily, and he's a Liverpool fan. And so I'm going to just quickly say my three. I think I'll take Rashford. I've been rating him for ages. I think Rashford in a Klopp team, I should say, would be murder, lethal. I would take who else would I take from that team?
Because you'll take Martial, I know you would.
I hate Martial with a passion. I think he's an absolute myth, but we won't go there because these men are going to get passionate and we're running out of time. Greenwood is for me one of
currently. Currently, now, use your kind of common sense. Right now, you'll take Greenwood over who?
Well, it's a squad game, man. Like, come on.
We just talk about first 11. That's why I found it so difficult. And you're saying
I didn't say first 11. You didn't hear me out. So, you know what I mean? I'm sorry if you've mashed up there.
Give me Majebri. These guys know about Majebri.
Oh, shut up about your talent spotting, man. But listen, I'm talking...
Wale player.
Greenwood.
He knows.
Yeah?
Iqbal. Watch out for Iqbal.
Zidane.
Wait, I'm struggling, you know.
So you're struggling to find two.
I found two. Rashford, Greenwood, 100. And then it's...
Bruno just fits in your team.
Yeah, 100%.
Bruno does, but Pogba should do bits in my team. But Pogba does bits in my team.
Pogba does in your bits, but I know you're not going to take him. That's why I pitched Bruno.
No, I rate Pogba.
Wan-Bissaka, I had a trend.
No,
that's ugly. That's ugly.
Not on the clock, but Pogba walks into your midfield. Pogba definitely.
What about LFC Daytrippers saying Van der Beek? That would be a quality sign.
Donny Van der Beek is a good player, but in the wrong system and under the wrong structure and management at United.
I know.
The thing is with Pogba, to get back to this, is not, no, we're not making, I've said this before, does, as Pogba always helps himself.
Let me read this out and then you come with a rebuttal because it's Mr. Here's My Rebuttal. Thank you for the super chat. I've never seen a player that had so many excuses for that Pogba, and I rate him because out of the outside influences, United fans say he's the best. But go on, come with your rebuttal.
Oh, yeah, those are what I was saying was, has he helped himself with his performances on the pitch in certain seasons? Absolutely not. This season, he's had a good season. I can't have no complaints with what he's done. We're not second without him. We're not in the semi-final of the Europa League without him. We're not even going as well in the Champions League as we did without him. And people forget he came on the pitch, I remember, against Leipzig and almost turned that around as well. So has he had a phenomenal season? No. But none of our players have had a phenomenal season. Has he been good? Yes. Has he been one of our better players? Yeah.
You're talking about the Europa League. You're Manchester United. And you're talking about the Europa League.
This is it. They're falling. They're falling for the same shit we
thought. Champions League, you're supposed to be the elite football team, the biggest
player.
And you're talking about the Europa League.
No, here's the thing. No, That's the
you know,
thing.
You know, Flawless, tell him about who nearly got us out of Europa League.
That's my whole point. If Pogba's fit for the whole Champions League gets group stage run, we get through that. That's my point about his impact. When he doesn't play,
did Pogba play against Seville last season, the semi-finals?
Yes, and it was one of our better. One thing I will say is the reason why that semi-final defeat hurts me the least is because we played well in that game.
Yeah,
that's the only semi-final under Oli where we actually played well and turned up and performed, and our strikers didn't score. Okay, that's a black mark against him. But if he's fit for the Champions League run fully, we go through.
Okay.
But he wasn't, and you see the difference. So listen, when you say we're in the Europa League, that's what it is.
Keep Pogba, man. Allow it. Yeah. Keep Pogba,
Have you chosen your third one yet?
Yeah. They've convinced me that I don't want Pogba. I may have. Let me finish in it. I may have picked Pogba, but I'm not now because the excuses from Flawless about Pogba, man. I've heard it from Saeed, man, and now I heard it from Flawless as well, man. So I'm gonna go with the front three because our front three are dead.
Yeah, I legit said he's not helped himself with his performances at times. I've legit said that. But this season solely, I cannot fault his impact and his performances. He passed the stat test, he's passed the eye test this season solely. Has he done enough overall? No. And if he left, it'd be a shame. It's a mix of things. Does he need to be held accountable for his poor performances? Yes, 100%. I've said
saying that I'm going to end with my three, and I've chosen it while you've been while you man's been chatting. I've been thinking deeply and envisaging every player in our team, and it's mad, it's fire. I'm going to go with Rashford, Greenwood and Bruno. I'm going to go for them three. You know, we're going to finish off with this chat, super chat. My man Promo FSG out again. Never rated Rashford. He knuckleballs everything. Come on, man. That's harsh, man. Rashford is a baller. He's had a lot of injuries, niggling injuries as well. You know what I mean? The guy's fire, man. You can't be knocking Rashford, man. He's still young. Man, knock Pogba, who's like 27, 28 now, and still refers to a young kid. But listen, I'm not going to fire this chap anymore. You, mans, thank you very much for coming and repping your clubs. It's been a great chat, and hope to have you guys on soon. Avi, my brother, you want to say anything from Super Cali?
No, just apologies to Saeed and Flawless if I said anything out of turn. And Grizz, I'll be bothering you later on the phone anyway. So,
You don't need to. You didn't say nothing out of turn, man. It's just, you know what I mean? You was good. You was all calm, man. And these mans are.
It's all football, man. You know what I'm
exactly.
Saying?
Man.
It's all football. So
I've seen worse on the Never Big Six show, man.
Yeah, you know I mean, oh man, Read that out.
Without ink, I can't read the question. I've just seen it now. Without Ings, Southampton would be in relegation now. Does that mean Ings is a top five best striker? ITW, no.
In the world.
So no, stop this.
I like that comparison, though. It's a good comparison, though.
But the thing is, does it make him the top five? No, but does that show how good Ings is? Yes. You know what I'm saying? If you're talking
Last question, literally 2 minute question for both of you. Saeed and Flawless, if United get a £90 million offer this summer for Pogba, does he leave? Yes or no?
Does he leave? Do I want him to go, or does he get sold?
If you get ninety, you're the chairman. You get £90 million. You're a big fan of this. You ain't selling, okay?
So, well, I've been told otherwise, innit? So I'm gonna keep my mouth shut.
He's gone. There, he's gone.
I'm not selling. You know he's gone. Who the hell are we gonna get to replace him?
Look at £90 million. No, you've got 90 million.
You got £90 million to play with.
Well, that's not answer to the question. Who do we get to replace him? Who comes in and does what he does?
You got a free transfer. You could get a free transfer from Gini Wijnaldum from us, man.
You can keep him.
But listen, guys, we need to jet, man, because Gav, the producer, my ear is killing me, and I need to start eating as well because I got fast tomorrow as well. And shout out to all the people that are fasting around the world. Big up to everyone. Shout out for the Avi, you want to say something about the people of your country?
Yeah, just COVID has hit a lot of countries, and it seems as if India's got it worse right now. So yeah, thoughts and prayers with everyone in India. Just hope for everyone just sort of recovers and recovers well. But yeah, big up to all those that are fasting as well. I'm not Muslim myself, but big up and respect to you guys for doing this, and especially when the weather's warm as well. So yeah.
Nice one. And on that lovely gesture and note, we're going to bid you farewell, and we hope it's a cracking game on Sunday and we can come back and chat about it afterwards. Peace out, everyone. Thank you.
Peace.
I have PenFed, that's a fact.
I have PenFed, that's a fact.
My credit card purchases get me cash back.
My credit card purchases get me cash back.
No one else gets these rewards.
Sergeant, that is just plain untrue.
What in tarnation?
Sir, PenFed's PowerCash Rewards Card isn't just for military members. Anyone can get cash back on all purchases.
Ah, figgins! You've ruined my favorite song.
PenFed Credit Union. Visit PenFed.org/PowerCash. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
Hey, imagine if all your frustrations about advertising your business could be solved right now. You should know that podcast listeners are more engaged and higher converting than any other advertising medium. So try AdHub today and reap the rewards of Spreaker's self-advertising platform. It makes it as effortless as ever to be heard by thousands, regardless of the listening app they use. Visit Spreaker.com/AdHub. That's Spreaker.com/AdHub. And start using your advertising dollars in an impactful way.
Sports Social Podcast Network.